It's good to see everybody out here this morning for our worship service. I see that we have visitors among us. We want to extend a hearty welcome to you and let you know that you're our honored guest. If you have any questions about what we're doing here in terms of our worship to God, please feel free to ask. You will not offend us. We want to do only those things that are contained in the Bible for our authority. And as I said, you know, if you have a question, do not leave here without asking it, because we are more than happy to explain to you why we do the things that we do here. It's good to be back. I've been out of town for a week myself, so it's certainly always good to be back here, and especially on the first day of the week. And would you be taking your psalm books and turning to page 340? That'll be our opening song here in just a few minutes. I have just a few announcements to make. In terms of members on the sick list, I don't have any members that were told to be locally, but there are a couple over at Northwest. Pam Bays, we want to remember her, and Wilmer Hamilton. I think both of those individuals are dealing with some serious health issues, so we certainly want to remember them in our prayers. And of course, all of us, make our prayers, just remember the brethren always in our prayer. For the benefit of those who are visiting with us, our times of worship, we meet here on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for Bible study, and our worship service is at 10 o'clock. Then we'll meet back again this afternoon for worship service at 4 p.m. And then again, midweek Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you're in the area and can make these times, we certainly want to invite you and encourage you to come out and be with us. If you're a member here, if we make the provisions and our plans for upcoming week to be here. In terms of additional announcements, Mark asked me to mention that the new quarter for the teaching rotation will begin January 5th. So let's be paying attention to the listing back there, and if you're down for a class, the changes will begin starting January 5th. Opening prayer this morning, we're going to call on Mike Johnson to word that. Andrew Nevins will be taking care of the communion. Warren will be our song leader this morning. I've already mentioned the opening song. Of course, Chuck will be bringing us the lesson. And Jesse Kirby will be wording a closing prayer. Also, we can make mention that Mike Johnson also has a release day invitation. Those are all the announcements that I have. If there's anything that needs to be pointed out, then please let me know, and I'll be sure to include those announcements this afternoon. There's nothing else, and we'll turn the song service over to you.
Three party, we're our first song this morning. Sing all three verses. Swiftly we're turning,
our daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our back to the right. Millions are not also die for these lost ones, and let us point the way unto them. Into our hands the gospel is given, into our hands is given the light. May let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right.
Our next song this morning will be page 394. 394. And after this song, we'll have our opening prayer. We'll sing all three verses.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Situation that they are dealing with at this this time, but Heavenly Father, help us, each one here, to recognize our duties and obligations as brothers and sisters, to do the things that we need to do in order to recognize these situations, to be at the right place we can. Father, we pray for the congregation here at River Ridge. We pray your blessings upon us as we strive to do your will, as we strive to take the gospel to those in this area. We pray that we would work together within the guidelines that you've given us in the scriptures, that we would not go outside those lines, and that we would do the things that are necessary, that we would make the sacrifices that are necessary, Heavenly Father, to take the gospel to those who need it. Please be with Tim and Chuck, the elders here, give them wisdom and decisions that they have to make. Heavenly Father, help us as members to be submissive to them as long as they're in accordance with your will. Father, we recognize that from time to time that we do sin and that we do fall short of your glory. We pray for forgiveness of those sins as we repent of them, that we can stand before you with clean hands and pure heart. Father, in a short time as we go into this week, we pray that you would be with us, that we'd always stand strong for you and for the truth, that we might live lives that are bold in serving you. Help us to never pass up opportunities to teach those that we come in contact with, and to recognize that this life is not about here and now, but about the afterlife and spending eternity with you in heaven. Father, we pray that you go with us for the exercise of this hour, that the things that we do here will be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For the Lord's Supper, let's turn to page 310. 310. Sing all three verses.
Oh, what wondrous love I see, freely shown for you and me, by the one who gave us all. Just to show his matchless grace, Jesus suffered for the race. In Gethsemane,
This is the time of year in which we're going to be hearing a lot of different ideas and messages throughout the world, especially in the United States, about Christmas, about how we need to celebrate the birth of Christ. And it is important that we remind ourselves that even though that is what the man-made holiday was established, what was established through God's word is that we need to remember, more importantly, of his death and of his sacrifice. It is important that he did came to this world, and it was great that he lived the perfect life, giving us teachings and giving us examples of how that we can live a better life through God. But it's important to know that if he did not die for our sins and raised from the dead, as established in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what we're doing today is in vain. And so that we need to establish our faith and confirm with the rest of the world while we do remember of his death and of his sacrifice. Let's remember of these events as I turn over to Romans chapter 8. We have not gone to this in our Bible studies in adult class, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Let's remember about Jesus' death in this passage. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather that he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or by sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The reason why I want to read that passage is because that, as is mentioned, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God. But it is through Christ, through his death and through his sacrifice and being raised from the dead, that established that relationship that we have with God. Again, if he came to this world and did not purpose to do the will of his Father, which is to be the sacrifice, and we do not have that love of God, because we are not having that right relationship, because we live in a life of sin. That is the reason why it is established in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, that we remember of his death, because it has so much more value to us than of his birth. And as we also need to remember, and in 1 Corinthians, as Paul is writing to the Corinthian brethren, they establish that we continue to remember this, not once a year, every year, as it is established, but we remember every first day of the week. May you bow with me at this time. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you gave your only Son to this world, knowing that we cannot pay the price of our sins, that no one could pay for that ultimate price. But it was through Jesus, through your Son, that he came to this world to be that perfect sacrifice and to raise from the dead. We thank you for this unleavened bread, which represents his body, which he freely gave. We ask you that we remember of the events that he had gone through in order that we may have hope of salvation. Please help us on these things, and take it in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heaven, would you ask good things?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this cup, as it represents the blood of Christ that was shed for you and me for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, thank you for all that you do and all your many blessings. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As we're entering another part of our worship, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it also established why we are to participate in giving on the first day of the week. As with examples of the with the Christians that was written to the Corinthian brethren, as to all brethren, we are to give by and store what we have been prospered. We also know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in those verses, in the context that established that if we do not have the right purpose in heart or wanting to give in a cheerful manner, then there really is no point in giving after all. Yes, we are to command to give, but if our heart's not into it, which God does see all things and knows all things, what we do think and how we do participate behind the scenes, away from everyone else. An example of this, there is a passage in Mark chapter 12, in verse 42, and that example was talking about a poor widow, and that Jesus saw that she only had two copper coins or two mites. And that was all that she had, but that's what she gave. And he established and he brought to everyone's attention that was there, saying that she gave more than all others that actually gave a larger sum. That's because that she had purpose in her heart that she was going to give everything that she had. Should we give everything that we should have? No. But what we do give, we need to establish that we are doing so that the work of the Lord, this local congregation, may continue on. It is our responsibility to make sure that we have the right purpose, the right attitude before giving, and that we do not do so with boastful, saying that I gave more than you did. That's not the right attitude. And we do know in Acts chapter 5 that that was taking place, and that there were individuals that were punished for that, for that mind of attitude. But it's also our responsibilities through the members of this congregation, as well as through the elders, to make sure that what we are giving is used for the right purpose. Everything we do is established through His Word. May you bow with me at this time. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You know all of our needs on an everyday basis, both physically and spiritually. We are so thankful for this congregation in which the Christians are here to be able to encourage one another. But at this time, we thank You so much to where we can give a portion back to You, to where we can try to use it according to Your will in order that Your word may continue to be spread. We ask You that the work may continue, that we encourage one another to do what each of us are responsible as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mark your song books to page 337, and that'll be the song invitation after Chuck brings us his lesson today. Mm-hmm.
And if you would, let's turn to page 397. 397. Go through the song for the lesson. Sing all three verses.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His light out evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the light along the shore. Let the Lord light be burning, send the gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry bells roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the Lord send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the Lord light be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save.
Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. For those who are at the back, that was Acts chapter 5. That's way back there today. We're full host today. Good to see everyone up. Glad you're with us. And I'm going to kind of continue on. Well, not continue on per se, but it's kind of a spin-off lesson I preached a couple weeks ago about what makes for a strong church. And let's go ahead in Acts chapter 5 and begin reading in verse 34. Acts 5 and verse 34. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a while. He said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." So we'll just stop there for a moment. I want to focus our attention this morning on these two men that Gamaliel brought up as an illustration. And I believe that if we look closer at these two men and what they did, I think there's a stark contrast to what we are to be today, what we claim to be today. And so let's just notice some things about these men. And in the second half of the lesson, we'll compare that to the way we are to be today, that what makes us different. What makes us different? I have another lesson. I may even preach that this evening about what makes our mindset different? What makes our thinking differently than those that are in the religious realm today that we've been trying to help? And many times we hit dead ends. But I'll talk about that another time. And remember, I said, maybe I would preach that tonight, but maybe I won't. Okay, verse 36, I want us to notice something right off the bat. It says that this man, first of all, he claimed to be somebody. He claimed to be somebody. Some people gravitate to those kind of individuals. Their quality is that of arrogance. They love power. They're know-it-alls. I'm somebody. You better pay attention to me. I'm somebody. Can I remind you of anybody? Biblically, I'm speaking. You may even think you'd be. I know people like that. Hopefully I'm not in that list. But anyways, over in 3 John. 3 John, I mean, you talk about a classic case of somebody who's power hungry and somebody who really thinks he's something. You know, like I say, believe it or not, there are people that just gravitate to those kind of people. They like people who are just kind of stuck on themselves, who claim to be somebody. They walk in with some kind of air. They got this air about themselves. Continue that word by saying they are against. But look what we have here. Where am I here? Yeah, 3 John. I was in 2 John. In 3 John, we pick it up in verse 9. I wrote to the church, and we know about Diotrephes. Doesn't this fit him? He says, who loves to have the preeminence among them. That preeminence just means the right to rule. But he didn't have the right to rule. But you know when people think they're somebody. So he wanted the preeminence among them, and he does not receive us, John said. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Prating against them with malicious words. Well, buddy, don't do that. You got a problem? Let's just talk about it. Yeah, but when you're somebody, you know, and these individuals, both of them, you know, they were able to go about and establish their own religious sect. S-E-C-T, okay, religious sect. But you know, the point is it can happen today. And it has happened today, and it's going to continue on. Now, we'll compare that with the way we're supposed to be in a little bit. But I just wanted you to pick up on that point back there in Acts chapter 5. We talked about the success that they had, and I do want to bring that up. They did have success. We find that the first man had over 400 people. You know, I look out in this crowd, and I don't know, I'll ask Keith later, but I'm guesstimating, you know, we're, you know, maybe closer to 60 today, maybe 60 plus. Chuck, what are you going to do when it's 400? Well, I won't worry about that problem when we get there, but 400, that's a lot of people. Now, there are places around that, you know, religious groups, and they're in the thousands, you know. These people have these huge arenas that they gather in. Now, I'm thinking 400 people, these guys had some success. Now, the other guy just said that he had many follow him. Many. That's a relative term. How many's many? But a lot more than one. And so the point is that these guys had some success. And that's impressive, but that kind of just adds fuel to the fire. It does. You know, because a lot of the groups today, if they have some success, what that does is it kind of convinces them that I must be right. And that's the problem when somebody thinks themselves to be somebody. I'm somebody special. You better listen to me. You know, I might be full of myself. Of course, they wouldn't admit that. But the idea is that, well, I'm full of myself because I'm somebody. And I must be somebody special because look at the success I'm having. And so the more followers that these guys get, you say, oh, man, I just added fuel to the fire. Try to convince this guy that he's in error. He got 400 followers. That doesn't mean anything, but to them, that means a lot. Beware when you let others puff you up. And it can happen. I want to see an example of this. Turn to Acts chapter 12. It's a classic example where man, you know, gets caught up in himself and, you know, people start praising them. And Acts chapter 12 and verse 21, it says, so on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave oration to them, and the people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten up by worms and died. I tell you, that might not happen today physically, but people need to understand that when you are so arrogant and you allow people, so the problem is you get 400 people, what were these 400 people doing for their leader? You know, obviously they considered him somebody because he felt himself to be somebody. And the crowd just builds you up. There's a danger that is there. When you have some success and people are listening to you, I got news for you. Just because people are listening to you doesn't necessarily mean you're telling the truth. We need to be aware of that, what these people were like. And it was just confirming it in their own mind. So that's what we're learning about these men. And there's another thing I just wanted you to bring up, and I think it's an important point as we go back to Acts chapter 5. We also noticed in those same verses, 36 and 37, it said, he claimed to be somebody, a number of men of 400 joined him. He was slain. Now, did you catch this phrase we read? And all who obeyed him. Well, of course, you obey me. Whose church is this? Oh, it's Jeff's church. Mm. The elder's church, no. It's Craig. It's the church's church. No, it's not the church's church. It's the church that belongs to our Lord. But this point is powerful, folks, and I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself when I start making those comparisons, so I'll stop there. You can see where I'm going to go with this. But these people obeyed him. They obeyed these men. That's the difference. Why people are quick to follow man is beyond me. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand why people would be quick to listen to what somebody says. Eve, we bring her up a lot. Eve, what are you thinking? Why are you so quick to believe? Well, because I think if we look at that, it's just she heard what she wanted to hear. And there are times when people are quick to believe. There might be a lot of issues why people cling to somebody who's arrogant and full of themselves and wants you to obey them no matter what. Don't you question me. Don't you ever, you know, start raising their voice. Don't you question me. I'm right, and that's all there is to it. Who gravitates to somebody like that? People do. And they obey them. Why would anybody would obey me? I don't get that. But it does happen. I'm not talking about you disobeying your boss, folks. You understand? I'm talking about the religious realm. Okay, you know, not being a man follower. Okay, I'm not going to go back and read 3 John, but did you notice that it didn't say that Diotrephes put everybody out? Put some of them. Some stayed. Some stayed with this arrogant man putting people out of the church. Well, he's somebody. Oh, I'm going to obey Diotrephes. I'm going to do what he said. Why would you do that? Why would you just rest your soul on what some man says? It's not, don't follow him. Now, we shouldn't be surprised about any of this stuff, of course. Ecclesiastes 1:9, there's nothing new under the sun, and it goes on today. I think the final point, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because I couldn't really make any point out of it per se, just the fact that they both died. They both died and their followers just kind of dispersed. Why? Because they followed the man, and when the man stopped, then they stopped. Okay. Now, that was the introduction. Now to the heart of it. So you've learned where Gamaliel gets up and he tries to tell people, look at these two guys. Don't worry about them. They're just, yeah, they got some followers, but, you know, they weren't of God. And, of course, Gamaliel is saying, look, if these apostles, if these guys are of God, don't be found fighting against God. I like that. Don't fight against God. You come in here, you give us a chance. You get visitors come in here all the time. Visitors come in, they're gone. They heard something they didn't want to hear. But I tell people, listen, if we're following the Lord, give us a chance. Okay. Now, if we're of man, then it ought to become apparent. And so the first point that I want to talk about, what makes us different from these men, is we, now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we don't claim to be somebody. We don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you got an apostle. He says in verse 1, he says, I, brethren, I did not come with excellence of speech. Or wisdom declaring the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear, much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Not somebody. Watch out, though.
Watch out. Because there are those who try to get followers by claiming to be somebody. And we as Christians need to be aware of that ever-present danger.
You see it. Same chapter. Let's move our, not same chapter, same book. Back up chapter 1. Look what we have here in verse 12. Paul has to tell these Corinthian brethren. He says, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. Listen, if this church have ever had a split, God forbid that it would ever happen. Okay? But it's split, and somebody says, well, I'm going over there with him. What? Well, he's somebody. I'm following him. He's somebody. You're supposed to follow Christ and what he has to say. You know, I'm going to go over to this group. What are you doing? Christ is the key here. And when people start thinking themselves to be somebody, watch out. A red flag needs to go off. Because that's not what it's all about for us as far as teaching people today. You know, if I die, or if I die, I thought I was going to die. You guys don't even know this. But when I was whispering to Debbie about where the life insurance was, I remember I thought I was on my last leg. And I also told her, I said, and here's a preacher that you might just want to mention. He'd be a good fit. Okay. But if you look for somebody, what are you going to look for when a preacher, when he comes? Simple, isn't it? Just come preach the gospel. Put Christ in the forefront. It's not about you. It's about him. Preaching the gospel. And this is what Paul was upset about. Was I crucified for you? What are you doing? What are you doing calling yourself after men? Are you a man follower? Is that what you do? But I'll tell you, these two guys that Gamaliel was talking about, they had some success. They got one guy had 400 people, and because he was somebody. And he had them obey him. Did you? And I really stress it, obey him. Because they thought they were really something. As an apostle, I really appreciate it. I won't turn over there. You guys know it. But I'll just tell you where it is. Acts 10. Remember Acts 10, 25 and 26? That's when Peter came in to see Cornelius. Remember Cornelius bowed down to him? He says, get up. I'm also a man. Hey, enjoy the moment. You're an apostle. The guy falls down. You know, savor the moment. No, he's not going to do that. Get up. I'm also a man. You have to appreciate somebody's attitude like that. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. This is really what we want people to understand. You talk about who somebody is. I'll tell you who somebody is. Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, he tells us in verse 25, husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. The church is his. Christ is somebody. Oh yeah, he's somebody. He's the one worthy to imitate and follow. Yeah, I want people to imitate me as I imitate Christ. I understand I'm to be an example in this world. I get that. But it's Christ that we follow. We don't follow the opinions of men, and we tell people that. I like what Mark did this morning. He does that in his announcements. And I like him doing that. Because he'll make the point, especially if he notices that we have visitors, to say, you know, if there's any questions that you have, bring it to our attention. If we do anything without biblical authority, bring it to our attention. Because we don't want to do one thing without biblical authority. So we don't want the opinions of men. Or traditions of man. You know, you go over to Matthew chapter 5 and talk about that, where Jesus condemned that, where people would do it. So, again, the only doctrine that we're to abide in is the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. Who's somebody? Jesus. And in comparison, like Paul said, I didn't come with excellence of speech. I'm nobody special. I'm nobody great. And as we've talked about in previous sermons not too long ago, where even Paul had to admit over in 2 Corinthians about his thorn in the flesh, lest that he would get puffed up because of all his revelation. Keep his feet on the ground, so to speak. Don't you need your feet on the ground? Absolutely. And so that leads us right into the next point, of course, is that we don't have people obey us. They have people obey them, but we don't have people obey us. We need to be careful as teachers of God's word that we don't come across with that, you know, you got to do what I say. Rather, we want to stress what does the Lord say. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 as we consider this point. I want people to obey me. As a matter of fact, I don't want to be, I don't think there's any fear of that, but I don't want to be such a charismatic, powerful teacher where I could teach a lesson that has somebody shaking in their boots and they come forward and I say, what are you doing here? Well, I need to be baptized. Why? Do you think you're lost? No, Chuck, but you think I'm lost. Well, I don't want that kind of an effect on a person where he's just so caught up in me that he wants to do what I want him to do. You know, parents, you know, with your children. What, you want to be baptized? Yeah. Mom and Dad think I need to. No, you don't do it for Mom and Dad. You do it because you understand. We're not here to obey man. We're here to obey the Lord, and we always stress that here. And we're not ashamed of that. It makes us different. And so over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says in verse 12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. You know what? They're just not wise. They're just not wise. And so that's what makes us obviously different. In the passage that we quoted in Bible class this morning from Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, you know, we're the type of people that we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to us. We are abiding in the doctrine of Christ and his teaching. We obey him. See, I'm a Christian. What kind of Christian? Did anybody ever ask you that? What kind of Christian? What do you mean? Well, are you a Methodist Christian? Are you a Presbyterian? I'm just a Christian. Are you a born again Christian? Let's not go there again, right? Yeah. You're just a Christian. And a Christian is one that's been born again. But the point is, there are people that just don't understand and how that you and I are to be Christ-like, and we want to wear that name because why? Because we obey him. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because here's another big difference, huge difference, and let's get this. I need this. What if we swell to 400? I don't want you guys, you won't do that, I know. I'm trying to make a point. Wow, it's because of our preacher. No? Look at the crowd here today, it's because of our preacher, huh? No, it's not. It's not. And that's the lesson, because they had success. And he mentioned that they had success. 400 followers obeyed him. And the other one had many. Well, they weren't Christians, so they were having success. But the point is, with you and I, it's not because of us. That's what Paul was trying to get across. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's pick it up. Verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything. Oh, I thought we're somebody. Neither who plants is anything, or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We just plant and water. When people obey the gospel, who gets credit? We've had people come forward and obey the gospel, and that's been wondering, who gets credit for that? The Lord? Oh, no, Chuck, no, it's more than that. Look, the power's in the gospel. If people are looking for the truth, they'll find it. That's what I always say. I spent almost an hour, probably a little less than that. This couple, I talked to them back in June, tried to get a class with them, but they wanted some DVDs back then from our TV program. They watch every week. And so he called me again. He said, Chuck, I want... And at that time, I sent him a whole list of all the TV programs. If there's other DVDs you want, check them out. So he calls me up, and I'm in Walmart. I think I'm in the car somewhere. I forget. Oh, I was in Walmart. That's right. I was in Walmart. And I told him, I said, Ernie, I'm in Walmart. He goes, what? Because he says, I want number 30, 31, and number 19. What's that? And, well, those are the DVDs on certain subjects. So I called him after I mailed them. He puts me on speakerphone with his wife, and they're just, what's the Bible teach about this? What do you think the Bible teaches about women speaking in church? What do you think about the Bible teaches about worship? What's it teach about spiritual gifts? I mean, it's just going on 100 miles an hour, question after question after question after question. And some of the questions were rather involved, and I said, look, guys, I says, I'll give you a short answer, but I'll throw through verses in there because you know I don't want you to think it's coming from me. I've been stressing it's what the Word of God always said. It's what the Word of God teaches. And that's what they wanted. There was no disagreement. And I just love that conversation. But people that just understand that we don't want people to obey us because they're getting fed up with going to religious group after religious group after religious group where you have to abide in man-made doctrines. And that's not what it's all about. And when they have success, you say, look at what we're doing here. It's not about us, it's the power. That's what I love about answering people's questions and say, look, read this. Because if people are seeking the truth, and I told them, if you seek, you'll find. But you know what? You might find what you're looking for, and it might not be the truth. Sometimes people look for something that's going to satisfy them. They're not really looking for the truth. And they'll find what they're looking for. But our Lord's promise in Matthew 7:7 is, if you're looking for the truth, you'll find it. Because there's power in the gospel. We need to learn that. We need to learn where the success really does come from. This congregation said, well, yes, I understand that we need to be a loving congregation. We need to be warm. When visitors come in, I understand that each member needs to, like, be welcoming to them. Good to have you today. I mean, we're not going to smother them, okay, you know, give them the third degree. But, you know, we can be kind. And I realize that's what a local congregation is supposed to be. Remember over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if brethren acted in an ungodly way, they said, you know, you can have visitors come in, they're going to think you're mad. So I get the idea that we can discourage people from coming. I know that. But when it comes to having success and people obeying, give credit where credit's due. And it's to the Lord and it's not to us. Well, good news, final point. What happened to those two guys? Well, they died. What happened to their followers? Well, they dispersed. We follow someone who's alive and never died. Now, Jesus died once. We know about that. Andrew took us back to the Lord's Supper when we talked about his death. It was crucial. If Jesus didn't die and resurrect, we're yet in our sins. But we follow the one that lives. And I had it on my outline here, and I didn't get to warn, but an invitation song, I thought, this would be a good invitation song. But we're going to go with this one, Warren. Relax. New song? I don't know that one. But it kind of ties into this one. I'll just remind you of the song, because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior is the song we sing. And that's the point. Jesus is alive. He's reigning. I love this because we go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, rather. You got this first sermon after Jesus goes back to heaven. And what are the points that they're trying to drive home to the crowd there on this first sermon? Here it is. He goes, men and brethren, verse 25, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried in his tomb, and is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he foreseeing this spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, of which we were all witnesses. Jesus Christ resurrected. He conquered death, you and I. Serve a risen Savior. You and I serve one who will never die. And you want to know something? If the church continues on, time continues on, for another 100 years, you know I'll be dead and gone. and Jesus is still alive. That's the great thing. A lot of teachers I love in the faith that have since left this world, but our Lord still lives. And the good news is people can still obey Him. And you can too today. We're not trying to encourage you to become a part of a sect that is just a, you know, something passing in the night. We try to stress that because, you know, there are people who think, they're in a school? What is this group? They're just going to, you know, they don't have roots. We need a building. Well, that's not why we're getting a building. But today, I want you to understand that I don't care what the world thinks. We have roots that are grounded in Christ and not in me. This is not a man-made organization. And we don't want to teach anything that has come from the mind of man, but from the mind of God. But in the process of doing that, I don't want to be like any of those two guys. None of us need to be puffed up with arrogance or something. Be clothed with humility. Be the kind of person the Lord wants us to take in His message. And the message for you right now is, it's Christ. You need to be a follower of Him. So the question is, are you a Christian? It's as simple as that. Are you a Christian? You have to obey the gospel to become a Christian, folks. It's as simple as that. You can't just wish it. You have to obey. You have to obey from the heart that form of doctrine that's going to live. Yes, become a Christian and then continue to abide in His teaching, because sometimes Christians fall away. They get entangled in the world. And if you are gone back into the world, you need to be restored. We're here to help and pray with you, pray for you in any way that we can. But if you're subject to the invitation, we'll sit down, we'll talk with you, make sure you understand what the Word of God has to say. Make sure you can see it and read it. These are the steps. This is how you become a Christian. And you can become one even today. We'll sit down. It won't take long. You have that desire to learn. But if you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, please let it be known as we can. Stand together and sing a song.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Control. Is thy heart right with God? Does He each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Thanks, Chuck, for a good lesson this morning. Good to have been here today. Good to see everyone out, especially our visitors. You are an encouragement to us for your presence here today. We invite you back. Any opportunity you have to come to be with us. I guess we're now ready. Any announcements you can make?
Just one quick one, and Mike mentioned in his prayer, let's not forget Christina. You know, she struggles with her MS and some back problems, so let's continue to remember Christina in our prayers.
there's nothing else, we'll have our closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and for this privilege to come in to worship thee in spirit and truth. Pray, Father, that the service as it unfolded would be glorified in thee. We pray that you be with each one of us as we depart. We pray that you will guide us, protect us. We pray that we will study thy word upon a daily basis. Put the whole armor of guard on. Be with us all, Father. Forgive us for our sins. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Good job, Warren.
Appreciate it. Good
job. I'm back. No, I'm right here.
Good job.
Hey, the song worked. That one.